Friday, we talked with Roger Sullivan and introduced to the Montana Environmental Information Center. And today we have the Deputy Director, Ann Hedges, and the Development Director, Carrie Kimball. Ladies, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So yes, talk with us a little bit about some of the things you guys have done here in the last few months.
Well, MEIC is an organization that, as Roger said, has been around for, you know, a very long time, since the early 70s, working to try to protect Montana's air and water. A lot of what we do these days has to do with utilities and what utilities are up to and how that impacts people's everyday lives, whether it's through clean air and clean water, or these days, more importantly, through economics. We work a lot on how utilities charge people to do the things that they want to do. And these are monopoly entities that are trying to make money. I mean, that's just what they do, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the facts. But they're a monopoly. And so it's really important that there's some kind of oversight on them to make sure that they're doing, that they're spending money in ways that really benefits the customer, not just the utility executives. And what we've seen a lot in Montana recently is we've seen a lot of decisions by utilities to enrich themselves, but not necessarily to help the consumers who have to pay the bills every month. So we try to be the nexus between economics and the environment.
Well, I thought we had a department that was supposed to take care of that, the Public Service Department.
Well, the Public Service Commission is charged with that role. But right now, if you've been watching the media, they're not highly functioning. It's really unfortunate. They have a lot of work to do. They have a small staff. They have a terrific staff of people. But it's hard for them to keep up with Northwestern Energy, who has an army of consultants and lawyers and people who can try to help Northwestern get what they want.
Well, Northwestern controls most of the state as far as up here we don't have that. Well, we have them because they do provide our natural gas.
Right.
But here we have Flathead Electric Co-op, so it's a little different situation. Nonetheless, I think you'll find Flathead Electric Co-op is very environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm. Flathead Electric Co-op is really the most environmentally friendly co-op in the state. They are very progressive. They've always instituted very good policies to try to stay up with the changing economy and the changing energy system. Our energy system is changing faster than anybody thought possible just a decade ago.
So you guys are also a lobbying arm, right?
We are. We do lobby every legislative session, and then when legislators come to town in the interim for meetings, we work those meetings as well.
And what sorts of things do you talk to the legislators about? I mean, you can't twist their arm that hard, can you?
MEIC has a very good relationship with legislators on both sides of the aisle. We believe strongly in trying to figure out where it is people are coming from and what is the common ground between people, not as a party, but as just Montanans. What do we all care about, and what is it that we all want to protect? And there's a lot of common ground in this state, and so that's where we live. That's the type of work we do, is trying to talk to people, give them information about why we're really not very far apart.
It was just a few years ago that Denny Rehberg was sitting right in the chair you're sitting in, and he says, you know what, we're all environmentalists. Nobody wants to trash the economy. Nobody wants to trash the environment, but we differ on how we want to use it.
Well, in Montana, because we are a small state, a lot of the issues that we face are not of our own making. They're made by the market forces outside of our control. And so the question is, are we going to sit here and let the market roll over us or bypass us, or are we going to participate in that marketplace? And in the energy arena, it's really important that we participate, otherwise we will get left behind. And we won't have as much money for our schools. We won't have as much money for our economy to do all the things and protect all the things that we care about. So it's important that Montana stay up to date and kind of get with the program when it comes to changing energy markets.
Well, let's talk about energy. Let's talk about Colstrip. That's already a situation that's coming to a head sooner than we expected.
Well, Colstrip, when it was built, it was designed to last 30 or 40 years. That's what all the original documentation says. Well, here we are. Everything has a finite life. Any car doesn't run forever, no matter how often you change the oil. And we have a really big power plant that is has been producing energy, electricity for people across the Pacific Northwest for decades. It's reaching the end of its useful life, and everybody out of state recognizes that, and they're making moves to exit that facility. As you saw last week, Avista just agreed that it's going to give $3 million to the community of Colstrip to help them with that transition. Puget Sound Energy already gave them $10 million to help them with that transition. We would hope that Northwestern would do something similar. It's hard on a community to have that type of transition, but that transition is going to happen whether we want it to or not. The question is, what are we going to replace Colstrip with? And will that benefit Montana, or will that benefit Washington and Oregon? We would prefer it benefited Montana. We have terrific renewable energy resources. We can put power on those lines. It is a type of electricity that out-of-state markets want. So we would really like to make sure that Montana stays in the game, and that the workers out at Colstrip are able to transition from the jobs that they're doing today to the next generation of energy jobs.
So how do you suppose they're going to use all this money? You've just talked about, $4 or $5 million?
I just talked about $13 million.
All right, $13 million. All right. Plus. I'm not good at math. So.
It's $13 million plus more money. I mean, there's money coming in from the federal government to help them do economic development analysis and try to do diversification studies and implement those studies. There's a lot of money being pointed towards the town of Colstrip right now, and we think that's terrific. What's good for Eastern Montana is good for the entire state. What are they going to do with it? You know, time will tell, and we hope that they spend it wisely. There's a lot of needs in the town of Colstrip.
They're not just going to give it to the workers who are losing their jobs, are they?
Hopefully, you don't just give them a handout. You give them a hand up. You teach them how to engage in this new economy so that they can have a job in that new economy going forward. You know, giving them a couple $1,000 isn't going to get them very far. Yeah. Giving them a job that they can continue to earn money and pay for their child's education down the road, that's the goal.
Well, Colstrip isn't exactly in the World Trade Center. Okay, so how are we going to get companies to invest in a small town in southeastern Montana that has a big need?
Three things. One, you have a great workforce. You have a lot of people who live there who are really committed to staying there. Two, you have to make sure there's clean water. So you need to clean up the mess that these utilities have made in the first place. There's 800 acres of leaking coal ash ponds that are full of toxins like arsenic and lead and mercury. Yeah. They've been leaking into the groundwater table there for decades. So we need to clean that up so that any companies who are interested in coming into the area have a clean water source. And the third thing is, we need to put those transmission lines to good use. As anybody who's worked in the transmission world knows, it's really hard to build a transmission line these days. Nobody wants one in their backyard. We happen to have a really lovely transmission line, a big line that can carry a lot of electricity to West Coast markets where they want our clean energy. So figuring out how to replace that energy with renewables that the market is demanding, and encouraging those out-of-state utilities who are invested in Colstrip now to instead just switch their electricity source to renewable energy. You put people to work, we maintain a tax base, and everybody is happy.
Ann Hedges is our guest. Carrie Kimball's here. Carrie's been very quiet.
Yeah. Well, I'm letting Ann take the lead here for sure. She's been with the organization for so many years, and I'm relatively new. So,
what is your role in the organization?
So my role is really focusing on reaching out to Montanans all across the state and trying to bring them into the organization. And it's such a great role because, I mean, you just heard Ann talk. She's a total expert, and I think that she, just has a lot to offer, and MEIC does too. And we're going to be at Bias Brewing this evening. Yeah. We'd love it if people would be willing to come down, meet with us, talk with us. We're friendly folks, and so that's really my role, is growing the organization and our base of support.
Is MEIC interested in nuclear as a transitional energy source?
I think maybe there's some potential there, but I think nuclear is a bit of a distraction. It's going to be incredibly expensive to build nuclear. It's going to be really, really controversial. Both those things could be overcome, but I don't think we need to. I think that we have the technology now to move forward with a better energy system between storage, which is here, and geothermal and wind energy and solar energy. I think nuclear is a good thing to be doing research on, these small-scale, fourth-gen nuclear ideas, but it's not an idea whose time has come yet.
You remember an organization called WHOOPS?
I sure do.
The Washington Public Power Supply System. I watched them try to build that out at Elma, Washington, just a little bit west of Olympia. I watched that thing and watched it and watched it, and it never got built.
Right. You know, we don't have an endless supply of money. I mean, that's part of the problem. If we had an endless supply of money, we might be able to make ideas like WHOOPS work or this new generation of nuclear work. But we don't. Our pocketbooks are thin. And so we want to make sure that the electricity we make doesn't harm our air, our water, our climate, or our pocketbooks.
One thing I've noticed about eastern Montana, I don't think it ever, I don't think wind ever stops there.
It has some of the best wind energy resources in the nation.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the ones up along the High Line. There must be 500-600 of those wind generators there. And they don't seem to get in the way of anything. They don't seem to be bothering anybody. Yet, quietly, they sit there and generate a heck of a lot of electricity.
They and make a lot of money for that community and for the state of Montana. There's a lot of tax revenue and jobs engaged in that type of energy generation.
Well, we've got that kind of wind down in Colstrip.
You know, there is a big company that is sitting there. It wants to build a wind energy facility just north of Colstrip. It would cover a couple counties. A couple counties would get tax revenue. They just need that transmission space.
And once they get it, but you've got the power lines right there.
Right.
That's always the big bugaboo with these wind generators is how do you get the power that you generate out of there?
That's exactly the problem, which is why Colstrip is so desirable. They have such a great power line that is up to date. It's a modern power line, and it can hold an awful lot of electricity.
Okay, so we've got wind. Geothermal, is that a possibility in that area too?
Yes. Geothermal is a possibility all over the state.
So at what point is somebody going to decide what we're going to do?
Well, that's where, you know, we need leadership in this state. We really haven't had a lot of leadership in the energy arena, although I will say that I think that the State Legislative House Committee on Energy and Federal Relations, Derek Skies from the Flathead sits on that committee, as do a number of very nonpartisan Democrats and Republicans, and I think they have the best handle on where the state is going and needs to go when it comes to energy. They see the trends that are happening, and they're not shying away from trying to embrace those changes as opposed to, uselessly trying to resist change.
Gosh, you got so much to talk about, and I'm out of time here, and I wish we could talk some more. But Bias Brewery tonight's an excellent opportunity. You can pick up the conversation that we started there and take it wherever you want to go.
Thank you very much.
Ann Hedges, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. We hope you'll come back again and talk with us more about this because this is a group that we'd really like to learn more about. And, Carrie, I hope that you will come back and help us convince people that they ought to become members.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.